Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Dr. Trevor Finney, neurologist at UPMC Hammond. Dr. Finney, thanks for being with us today. Can you share a little about your background and what led you to UPMC Hammett and your area of expertise?
Sure. So I did my bachelor's education at Allegheny College in Meadville, right down 79 from here in Erie, and I was a double major in neuroscience and psychology. So the brain was always fascinating to me. So I went through medical school to further that education on the topic, and I just fell in love with the brain and neurology in general. What got me into my more subspecial expertise, which is a neurohospitalist, okay? What a neurohospitalist is it's a neurologist whose specialty is the hospital. So oftentimes when you hear, "I saw my neurologist," you went to the office to see for your headaches or multiple sclerosis or seizures or some other sort of ailment. I don't have an outpatient office. My specialty is in the hospital work for acute neurologic emergencies. There is another neurohospitalist, Dr. Daniel Kinnam, who also works with me, and we enjoy and thrive on the acute care for all the things that you don't want to be here for, but we want to treat you for it to make you as well as possible afterwards.
May is National Stroke Awareness Month. Can you explain the significance of this month as a physician?
Sure. So I think it's an extremely significant to have a whole month dedicated to stroke, because stroke is the leading cause of long-term disability in the United States. It's the fifth leading cause of death, and it's also the second leading cause of death worldwide. So stroke is a big deal when it comes to how prevalent it is in our society. Twice as many women die every year from stroke when compared to breast cancer. So the awareness for these two things, having months of themselves, are very important when it comes to stroke. Another reason that the awareness is important, because I'm sure we're going to talk about it a lot, but the faster that you get treated for stroke, the more likely you are that we can treat you and try to make you better versus watching the stroke happening. And if you aren't aware of what the signs and symptoms of stroke are, then you may not know to see that in yourself or in somebody that you're with to be able to come to the hospital as fast as possible to get the appropriate treatment.
According to the Center for Disease Control, more than 3 out of 5 people are aware of all major stroke symptoms and know to call 911 when someone is having a stroke. That means that 2 out of 5 don't have that level of awareness. As an expert, are you encouraged or discouraged by this statistic?
So I'd probably say a little bit of both. The fact that a majority of people know all major stroke symptoms is good, except for it's a very slight majority, so that's not good. the 2 out of 5 people who aren't aware, they really leave themselves and the people that they surround them with vulnerable to worsening conditions. So that is, it's more on the scary side, because I worry about the 2 out of 5.
Have you seen a drop in patients coming into the hospital, even though they may have stroke symptoms due to fears of COVID-19?
So initially, there was actually a precipitous drop in the amount of people that came in. And I want to say the beginning of March, mid-March, as soon as it sort of reached the USA in higher numbers, there was a drop. And that has since bounced back a little bit, but that's not just an Erie phenomenon or United States phenomenon. Studies have been done in European countries, which show that even in those countries, they dropped up to 40% for stroke admissions in that time period. The problem that we have seen and are still seeing in this week is the fear of leaving your house due to COVID-19 is preventing people from coming in. And then they're ending up worse off than they potentially could have otherwise. So we've had people within the past 2 weeks who initially had some minor symptoms of weakness and numbness and, were a little bit wary to leave the house, and they were hoping it would go away, and it didn't. And it got a little bit worse. And by the time they came into the hospital the next day, it was past the time that we could really do anything for them besides preventing another one from happening. So this is, there has been a big change because there's just the additional fear of leaving the house, which is there, as opposed to the sometimes normal, which we've seen for years. I just thought it would go away. You know, so there has been a drop, but it's come back up, I think. Now that people are more anxious to get out of the house, they almost want to, you know, which is good, as they should.
Your advice really is listen to your body and act on anything that concerns you, right?
Exactly. I think that's important because 911 should be the first call and, you know, let us, the trained professionals, tell you that it's nothing, which if it is, or let us tell you if it's something, you know, versus just hoping it'll go away or thinking that it's nothing. You know, let us tell you that and call 911 and get to the hospital as soon as possible.
We've all seen the PSA, time lost is brain loss, on TV. Why is timeliness to rapid treatment at UPMC Hammett critical?
Sure. So I think this is, it's one question, but I'm going to sort of break it up into two different parts. The first part being the timeliness. Timeliness is extremely important because when you're having the largest strokes and the biggest blood vessels in your brain, 2 million brain cells are lost per minute, okay, which correlates to 3 weeks of accelerated aging, right? Many people don't know, okay, well, what does a brain cell actually mean? Well, every minute that you don't treat that stroke, you get 3 weeks older. Every hour that that large stroke goes untreated, it's 3.5 years of accelerated aging and increased debility. So that time is very critical, which is why minutes do count, and especially hours. Breaking that into the second part, where it's why specifically at UPMC Hammett is critical, is for those large strokes in the large blood vessels with the big clots, UPMC Hammett is the only facility in Erie County in a 100-mile radius which has the ability to pull those big clots. So we receive transfers from hospitals all over the city, all over the county, for these large blood clots to come to us so that we can go in there and pull them out. If you go to one of these outlying facilities first, then there's a delay, and from when you get there to when you come down to us, sometimes between 1 and 3 hours. So that's a lot of brain that is potentially higher at risk because you didn't come directly to UPMC Hammett, where we're trained and efficient to take care of it right away and save as much brain as possible.
Can you tell us why UPMC Hammett stands alone in Erie as a premier certified comprehensive stroke center?
With regards to stroke, you know, being the only comprehensive stroke center, that's not a designation that, you know, you pay for. It's a designation that you work for. It takes coordination. It takes lots of work, and it takes really good outcomes. You know, people come in, and they look up and down everything that you've done, and you have to show them that you treat a lot of people, and you treat a lot of people very well. When it comes to the treatment of patients with stroke, one of the things that we talk about is door to needle. Basically, how fast from once you enter the emergency room doors are you getting the clot-busting medicine, okay? UPMC Hammett gives the clot-busting medicines to its stroke patients within 45 minutes, more than 80% of the time. The average for every hospital in the state of Pennsylvania is under 50% of the time. Okay, so we are well above and beyond not only the Pennsylvania, but the national averages when it comes to this. With this increase in time, there's no worsening in safety. Our safety measures, as far as risk associated with these things, are well under the national average and the state average. So we do things specifically faster, and we do them safer than national and state averages. So that puts us, you know, above and with all of the national companies. And, you know, I think we're saying it does put us alone in this area, but being a comprehensive stroke center puts us in the same exact tier as places like the Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins and Cedars-Sinai and Cleveland Clinic, all these other larger names, which are comprehensive stroke centers.
How do people recognize stroke symptoms, and what is FAST?
Sure. So the signs and symptoms of stroke, the most recognizable ones, are weakness on one side of the body. What the FAST acronym is, F-A-S-T, so F stands for face. Oftentimes with a stroke, you can have one side of your face which starts to droop, or you have drooling coming out of one side of your mouth. The A stands for arm, which is arm weakness. It tends to be one-sided arm weakness, and you notice if you're holding on to something, you'll drop it, or you just can't lift your arm in the air. The S is for speech. You can have very slurred speech where you can't understand what you're saying because your words are so slurred, and you can also have problems getting your words out or understanding things. So that's where the S comes into play. And the T is for time, because as we have spoken about, time to brain is very important. So that's what FAST is, F-A-S-T, face, arm, speech, time.
Are there other ways a stroke can be diagnosed?
So there's many other symptoms for stroke. There's a very long list of things that are stroke, some of the more rare, some of the more obvious. As far as the recognizing it from the outside, one-sided weakness, numbness, and tingling is the main scale as far as symptoms. For the diagnosis, when you come into the hospital, how do we diagnose you with stroke? The two main ways are we do get a CAT scan of your brain as well as an MRI of your brain. Sometimes they don't show up on those, but it doesn't mean that you didn't clinically have a stroke, because people did have strokes before the 1970s when, you know, CAT scans were invented. So if the signs and symptoms are suggestive, then that can be of a stroke.
What are some of the latest treatment advancements in neurointervention?
Sure. So there's sort of a before and an after for both of these interventions. One of the newest advances is the treatment of those big clots that I had mentioned, the biggest strokes and the biggest blood vessels. There used to be a six-hour window for, unless somebody saw you and we knew it was 6 hours or less, then we couldn't intervene and we couldn't pull the clot. That window has since expanded to 24 hours, which not everybody who is 24 hours out can necessarily have the treatment, but if you go to bed at 9 p.m. and then wake up at 6 a.m., in the past, you would have not been a candidate for any treatment. But now there is a possibility that we can go in and try to treat that large clot. So that is huge as far as the before a stroke neurointervention, as far as treatment advances. As far as after you've had a stroke, what sort of advancement are there? At UPMC Hammett, myself as the primary investigator, we are a part of a large international trial with a brand new, first of its kind, state-of-the-art medication for preventing future strokes. Right now, there's currently 120 sites worldwide, and we are number 5 in the world with regards to enrollment in that, and number 1 in the country with enrollment per month in this brand new, potentially groundbreaking thing. So as far as HAMA goes, we have sort of the before and after for prevention that we're really, you know, world leaders in this.
Is there technology that exists only at UPMC HAMA that may help you diagnose and treat stroke patients?
Sure. So I think the major technology which makes the most difference in our community is, again, the ability to pull clots, where we go into your blood vessels, we travel up to your brain very much like you would do a catheterization of the heart, except we bypass the heart, go up into the blood vessels, into the brain, grab the clot, and pull it out to save the big blood vessels. That is the best technology, which is rapidly changing, and Dr. Charles Romero is our neurointerventionalist here. He's the one who goes in and pulls out those clots, and he is up to date on all of the newest trends and technologies that have to come with that. And so there's innovations all the time with that. Another treatment that we have the possibility of only here is the treatment of certain kinds of brain aneurysms, which are outpouchings of blood vessels, which can cause bleeds to happen. And we have new flow-diverting technologies with very specific interventions that we are doing here as well for aneurysms, which previously were unable to be treated, but now we can here because we're continuing on the forefront of the new technology.
UPMC Hammett was first designated a comprehensive stroke center in 2018. This reflects the highest level of competence for treatment of serious stroke events. UPMC Hammett is the first and only hospital in the area to receive comprehensive certification and among only 5% of hospitals nationally. What does that mean to the team at UPMC Hammett?
So what that means is that it really shows how much from the top down our hospital cares about our community. We care about providing the best care for all of our people in the community for their strokes. We don't want to leave anything on the table that we can't treat. If you have a problem, we want to be able to take care of it. I think it shows as an institution as a whole how much we care about the community.
Are there preventative measures people can take to help prevent a stroke?
So if you have not had a stroke to this point, then there isn't a here, take this medication, you're less likely to have a stroke, okay? But in general, it's a healthy lifestyle. It's following up with your family doctor and controlling the major risk factors for stroke, which are high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, okay? And also making sure to not smoke and eating a healthy diet. Those are the best ways to keep your body in the best shape to be able to prevent strokes.
Is it true that as many as 80% of strokes are preventable?
So it's sort of loaded in how that's worded, I guess. So if you've had a stroke and you come into the hospital and we correct all your risk factors, so we check your sugar levels and your cholesterol levels, and if we can find the cause of the stroke, and we correct everything as far as risk factors go afterwards, then it can decrease the percentage that you'll have another stroke by 80%. Okay, and the stroke risks are high. Within a week of having a stroke or a warning sign for a stroke, there's a 2% chance that you could have another one, and then it could be worse. And within the 90-day period, which is always thought to be the critical period after a stroke is 90 days, there's over a 5% chance that you could have another event in that time period. So that's where the coming into the hospital, being seen and evaluated, so that we can decrease that by 80% down to only a couple percent. So that's where that sort of comes into play.
Demographically speaking, strokes can happen at any age, correct?
Yes. Even in the past couple of weeks here at Hammett, we've treated patients with large strokes between the age of 25 and 95. So all ages.
Are there other demographic factors that make strokes more or less likely, like gender or ethnicity?
Sure. So as far as gender goes, in general in the United States, there's about 800,000 strokes that occur every year. About 200,000 of those are recurrent strokes. Of those, 55,000 more women per year have strokes than men. So they are at higher risk. Women tend to live longer. So that is one part of that, because they live longer. And as we get older and as we age, our stroke risk increases. And the American Heart Association also states that African Americans are higher risk of death from stroke. And that's due to the likelihood of them having high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity, according to the American Heart Association.
What is the difference between an ischemic and hemorrhagic stroke?
An ischemic stroke is when a clot goes to your blood vessels and the tissue it's supplying dies. And a hemorrhagic stroke is where a bleed occurs. So the analogy that I like to use, which seems to hit home the most, is if we picture our brain as a flower garden, okay, that needs constant water from the hoses that supply it, okay? What an ischemic stroke is when one of those hoses is blocked off so that all the flowers it's supplying die, okay? What a hemorrhagic stroke is when one of those hoses bursts and then the extra flood of water kills all of the flowers that it was supplying. So that's sort of the difference between ischemic and hemorrhagic. If you think you are having a stroke because you have the one-sided weakness, numbness, tingling, or speech changes, do not take an aspirin, okay? Oftentimes we hear, with a heart attack, take an aspirin. With a stroke, you cannot tell if it's an ischemic or a hemorrhagic until the CAT scan shows us that. So if you happen to have a hemorrhagic stroke where it's a bleeding stroke, and then you take more aspirin, that could put you at risk for worsening. So, and we know that with ischemic strokes, taking an aspirin doesn't help. So it's important if you have stroke symptoms to not take an aspirin at home thinking you're going to make it better because you could make it worse.
For people that are taking an aspirin or baby aspirin every day, are there stats that indicate that they are less likely or more likely to have a stroke?
To suffer a hemorrhagic stroke, the risk is very minimally elevated with the baby aspirin. It is somewhat protective from an ischemic stroke, depending on what you're on it for. But there isn't a, oh, well, I'm 50, I should start taking an aspirin for my brain. Okay? Speaking from the neurologic box, I'm not sure as far with the heart box, but from a brain standpoint, just going ahead and taking an aspirin without any reason is not necessarily needed.
We've often discussed with other physicians that some patients may wrongly believe that a larger market means a higher level of care and a better physician. That is not the case for stroke patients at UPMC Hammett, is it?
No, that's absolutely false, and that's not true for any cases. I mean, we have world-renowned and recognized cardiologists, pulmonologists, the Hillman Cancer Center. We are a, although Erie may be smaller, our care is world-renowned.
Doctor, just to review, rapid access to medical treatment oftentimes means the difference between fully recovery and permanent disability, doesn't it?
Absolutely. 911 is the answer. Don't phone a friend. Don't hope that it will get better because it could get worse. And if it gets better in the hospital, then that's wonderful. But 911, because every minute counts.
Doctor, thanks again for joining us. We know times are crazy now. Are there any final thoughts that you would like to touch on?
No, I think just the importance in general about stroke awareness, understanding the signs and symptoms, calling 911 and going to a facility like UPMC Hammett, which can offer you everything immediately, is important to save your brain and the life of you and your loved one.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Dr. Ford is in the Business Spotlight.